Welcome to Flipper Talks, a family law podcast. We are Flipper, the Family Law Practitioners Association of Queensland. Family law is a wonderfully rewarding career, but is not without its challenges. Join us as we explore the issues that impact on the practice and well-being of family law practitioners. We hope our episodes will not only inform and inspire you, but encourage you to reach your potential. Enjoy this episode.
Welcome to Flipper Talks, a family law podcast. I'm Emily Owensworth, and today we're diving into a topic that every lawyer, particularly in family law, grapples with regularly: how to have difficult conversations. And today I am joined by Fiona and Leilani Pakoa, welcoming them back for the second time on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
For those who haven't listened to our first podcast, although they should go back and listen to it because it's a cracker, can you both please give a little introduction, Fiona?
Yeah, thanks, Emily. Name's Fiona Pakoa. I've spent most of my professional life working in multicultural teams in the developing world bring a range of experiences and learnings, which I'm translating into a bit more coaching and mentoring within my organization. And learning how to have difficult conversations is something that I wish I'd learned much, much earlier in my professional life. So I'm really happy to be here and to help others develop the confidence and the skills to
succeed, thrive.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%.
It's great to have you here. And Leilani, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yes, my name is Leilani Pakoa. I am a sport and exercise psychologist. I work with elite athletes, adolescents, teams around difficulties they might be experiencing, maybe neurodiversity, difficulties with eating, and the overall goal is building skills around performance and well-being outcomes.
Awesome. So I suppose every day we all have conversations. What makes a conversation difficult? Is it the subject matter, the emotions involved, who we're speaking to? What is it?
I feel like a difficult conversation is more around the, almost like the emotion, the fear you start experiencing in anticipation of having that conversation. You know, the thought of like, oh, I've got to go and say this thing to this person. How are they going to respond? What's going to happen? There's so much anxiety around it that can get built up. We almost, you know, I feel like our instinct is like, how do I avoid this?
Yes.
How do I get out of this?
Yes.
And one way that I would think about it or talk about when we're talking about communication and difficult conversations is thinking about, you know, we have a upstairs brain and our downstairs brain. So our upstairs brain is the prefrontal cortex. It's developed last and gets all connected last, but it is responsible for communicating, problem solving, decision making, critical thinking. And we require all of those cognitive skills when we're going in to have conversations, particularly difficult conversations. But what can happen is we get stuck downstairs in the emotional brain. So our emotional brain is responsible for keeping us safe. It's like our fight or flight response. It's our security alarm. It's going off and telling us we're in danger, we're under threat. So when we're going in to have these difficult conversations, often we're experiencing a lot of physiological responses. So the heart rate might be jumping up, we might start sweating, we might start getting a bit of stress rash. You know, we're quite uncomfortable and we're feeling under threat, and often it's the body reacting before our brain is. And it's almost like we're uncertain, we're fearful, we're anxious, and the body is responding. And then we sort of lose access to all of those higher order cognitive skills. We're not getting upstairs. We're not able to think clearly. That's often why when we're in those sort of predicaments, it can feel almost like a freeze response. So we've got fight, flight, or freeze, where we kind of just go blank. We're not really sure what to say. You know, we're standing there thinking, what was the question? What was I supposed to say here?
Yes.
So that's a, and I don't think people are quite aware of that process, of that difference between, when people who are able to communicate in those settings and people who aren't, we're not super conscious of like what's happening physiologically in our bodies, and how that then interferes with what we can say or think or feel. We kind of lose that access and we're not super aware that that is what's happening in those scenarios.
Is there a way to reframe a difficult conversation in your head so that you don't go into it perceiving it as something that you should, you might be scared of or fearful of, or, you know, worried about the other person's response?
I think a lot of what are we fearing? We're fearing what people think of us. We're fearing, you know, if you've done something that you know that's going to have some sort of a backlash, what will that backlash, what's the consequence to what it is that we're thinking? We are uncomfortable with how somebody makes us feel, so we're having to be open about that. All of this is all, how does it impact on me? How does it impact on them? What's the consequence to the relationships, all these things. That's what triggers a lot of the fear, which then triggers all that physiological response. So what if, for instance, rather than thinking about that interaction, I'm going to try and avoid saying difficult conversation from here on in, because part of this process is reframing how we think about things.
Yes.
Right? So rather than thinking about it as a confrontation, or what if we thought about it as a, I need to better understand that other person's perspective.
So instead of like perceiving it as like, this is going to be a big conflict, a big, like, how am I going to deal with what's going to happen after, like, it's going to cause them so much distress or emotion.
Yes.
We want to reframe it to.
Yes.
What did you say?
So we reframe to this idea that we better understand each other's perspectives.
Yes.
So let's think about it like within a workplace scenario.
Yes.
Ultimately, within the workplace, we are looking to work together to achieve a common goal, whoever has set that common goal. But we may have a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not a fan of using the word conflict. I prefer to use differences of opinion.
Yeah.
Because differences of opinion open you up to the need to be curious about that difference.
And open.
And open, exactly. So if you reframed how you thought about that interaction from a perspective of, it's in our best interests that we find a way to work together on this. How do I take some responsibility for thinking about how I respond to that individual, how I show up, how I plan and prepare for the conversation that we need to have?
Yes. So when you go in and you say we need to prepare for that conversation, right? You know, in the law world, judges and barristers will often tell you before you appear in court, prepare, prepare, prepare.
Yes.
Is there something we can do to prepare before going into, I don't want to say a difficult conversation, but into one of these interactions to make us, I don't know, feel better about it, more confident, make it not feel as if it's a confrontation?
The one thing I would add in here is that we have to regulate before we can communicate. So if we are experiencing a lot of those physiological responses where we're feeling under threat and stressed, we've got to try and regulate the body in order to gain access to the upstairs. So there's lots of different ways that we might look at regulating ourselves. There's lots of different sensory things we can do. There's lots of breathing exercises we can do. There's lots of even little, like, we would use little mini sections of progressive muscle relaxation where you're just sort of like squeezing your shoulders up to your ears and then dropping them really fast. So you're feeling the tension, releasing the tension, doing something sort of to physiologically regulate before we get into what are we going to say, what do we want to get out of the conversation. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a starting point, I would say.
So that particular scenario, you've got a point in time, haven't you? You know that that's coming up.
Yes.
And what Leilani has just offered you is like in the lead up to that particular point in time.
Yeah.
What I might also offer is, you know it's coming up, you know who's involved. Mm-hmm. So taking the time to prepare for that interaction. So it means that you also need to be clear on your perspective, and you need to have some understanding of the other party's perspective.
Yes, and is that in terms of also thinking about how you word it, what words you use, being 100%. Selective?
100%.
And writing down notes, going in to that extent, would you do?
I'm a great proponent of scripting. Mm-hmm. Until it is something that comes more naturally to you.
For sure.
Finding the time and the space to really think about what is likely to happen. Who's going to initiate that conversation? What questions might be asked of me? How am I going to respond? So if you do a little bit of scenario planning and you do a bit of scripting, and I would go as far as to say is to role play it with somebody you trust.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
And I think another part is sort of having an idea in your head of what you want the outcome to be.
Yes.
Like, what is okay, I'm going to go into this conversation. We might get a bit lost in the in-between.
Yes.
What do I want that ending outcome to sort of look like? Is it, yes. Do I want to get this point across? Do I want to get this specific case, or you know, whatever you want the outcome to be? I think it's quite important to have that really clearly defined in your mind, so that whatever happens in the midst of that conversation, you've got that kind of like bookend to work off.
Yeah
Would you say?
And the only other thing I would offer is, don't make assumptions.
Yes.
Yeah. Be curious,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be clear on the facts that are in front of you and make sure that you've actually got them written down. You know, that whole business of taking notes around, I think it's absolutely critical.
Yeah. The contrast to that is sometimes you don't know you're going into a difficult conversation and you don't have time to prepare and make notes and self-regulate. And you get a call from another lawyer or a client, whatever it might be, and they're upset or they're angry, and you weren't anticipating that difficult conversation. What do you do?
It speaks a lot to how you're developing your interpersonal skills in your profession. So that reflection, that self-reflection process where you are understanding the elements of your attributes and your communication style that needs to be honed to do that naturally.
I think I feel like if when you're not preempting but you can feel it, that's a really great starting point, right? Is like recognizing in the moment what you are feeling. I'm feeling you're really distressed.
Yes.
Or you're really frustrated.
Yes.
Or so instead of trying to go to the, you know, the logic or the rationale or where we're at, kind of just lean into the emotion.
Yes.
I can feel you are really angry with me.
Say that aloud.
100%.
Yes.
You recognize what is happening.
Yes.
You have a client that gives you a call and says, like, what the heck is this? You didn't tell me this, this, and this. And then you're sitting there thinking, oh, Dooley, what do I say here? Yeah. What am I going to respond? We go, if we're unsure, I think we just lean into what you're feeling in that moment and what you're understanding the person is communicating to you right then and there. Because then that immediately you're going to be validating, you are listening, you are in a way containing. So if we went straight to like, well, I'm just on this, I'm just doing this, trying to give them context, they're not able to hear you, okay? Because like I said before, they're in the downstairs. If we come in from like a rational, this is where we're at on the matter, this is what's happening, they're not going to be able to actually comprehend what you're saying because they're downstairs in the emotions.
Mm.
So we've actually got to lean into like, I'm hearing you're really frustrated by the progress of this or whatever's going. We validate before we go to like, well, this is where we're up to. So we've got to kind of stay downstairs, help sort of contain and regulate before we can get to the, you know, the facts or the figures or wherever we're trying to, we want to use, if that makes sense.
Because often our natural response is to get defensive.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit like, you know, why did you do that? Anybody who asks a why question, your immediate response is
defend,
you know.
I'm under attack,
yes. You know. Whereas what Leilani is suggesting is that you're reframing this, you're acknowledging them, and you're developing your active listening skills.
Yes.
You know, so you are taking on board the feedback, you're partnering with them, you know, you're developing a bit of a flow with them, you're building trust, I'm hearing you, I understand.
And you're both regulating. You're regulating yourself and the other person that you're in that conversation with.
Yeah.
Which I think can be, I think, like, when if you're not quite, like, if you weren't really expecting or anticipating a difficult conversation, there almost has to be a, like, how can we contain this now?
Yes.
So instead of it getting, like, big and we're all distressed, what is the process and, like, okay, how can we, so just contain this, take a break, like, let's, I can hear you, I understand where you're at and what you're experiencing, why don't we come back in 30 minutes or, we, you know, we want to try and put some boxes around it, I think.
And it might be a little uncomfortable to start doing this, but it's all about practice. You know, it's about practicing, and you might not practice necessarily in your professional space initially, but you could be practicing this with other conversations that you might have. But what's really important is the outcome is that you diffuse that situation. So often another really good tip is not only just leaning into that, but dropping the tone of your voice and slowing the tone. Just make and allowing, because if they are highly emotional, then there's the, you know, their tone might be high, they might be speaking quickly. So in terms of then being able to reduce that emotion a bit, is drop your tone, speak slower, try and take a little bit of the emotion out of that interaction.
Yes. Is there a way, particularly when dealing with clients, if you're you know, calling a client to say, look, the other side's pulled out of this deal that we've reached, it hasn't been properly formalized just yet, to show empathy while delivering that news but staying professional?
I think a big thing that we would learn if we were in that situation is preempting. So sort of trying, instead of just like, here it is, here's the bad news, we want to almost lead the client through the process. So preempting, okay, so let's say, for example, that you're on a call. Instead of just like, okay, this is what's happened, this is where we're at, we might want to be like, this might be a little bit tough to hear, we might need to take some time to process what I'm about to tell you. Like, we don't want to just sort of dump it in the conversation. We want to sort of lead them, preempt them, how they might be feeling, how they might react or respond, so that they're not like, oh my gosh, and then we're like, uh-oh, I gotta go. This is too much for everybody. We want to almost lead them and preempt, like, this is going to be tough to hear. This isn't going to be the outcome you were thinking or hoping for or working towards. This is going to feel disappointing or this is going to feel really frustrating. So almost trying to preempt and let them know how they might respond, I think, can be a way of sort of leading into the big emotions or the distress that may come up.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that particular way of responding might be different to how the profession would ordinarily look at it, whereas very matter of fact, factual, upfront, clear, etc.
Black and white.
Exactly, whereas what you're needing to really consider is how the information is going to be received in such a way that you can actually discuss it. And I wonder whether one of the ways in which you do that, we go back to this whole idea of this partnering idea, is we possibly don't use I and you in the conversation. We're very much demonstrating that you're in it together. So that we're working together, so we use we, and you know the language that you're choosing, the verbs that you're choosing, are very much more about that collaboration, you know, support, etc., as opposed to that very kind of legalistic language that sometimes is difficult to take on board when you're so emotional.
Yes.
And I feel like for clients who aren't in that world,
yeah,
that they're not there at all, you know, they're not thinking through the legality or the facts, or they're all in the emotions all the time. It's their life, it's their assets, it's their things they've been building and working on for decades.
Their children,
where they're going to live, how they're going to live, like all those things that are so emotional and how people have so much attachment to. Coming in from such a, you know, these are the facts and these are the figures, how you're taught to do, potentially isn't going to land for a client who is like, this is my whole life.
Well, it's hard to balance, compassion and empathy while setting a boundary and also, you know, acknowledging the relationship you have with the client.
Yeah.
You know, it is one where the news you deliver to your client and the way you comfort them is different to what you would do with a friend or a child or someone else you're familiar with. And so it's a really fine line, I find.
Yeah.
I think one of the key things, as you've just mentioned there, that might be different is compassion for me with your client is about honesty and integrity. And I think that speaks, the difference between being empathetic, where you're being empathetic, there's this idea that you're sort of putting yourself in their shoes, but compassionate is a bit different. Compassionate is being clear, and it's
I think containing.
Yes, it's that emotion of not necessarily putting yourself in somebody else's shoes, but being clear with where the boundaries are. But at the end of the day, you have their back.
Yes.
You know, that's what they need to know.
You've got the best for them. Like, you are working, putting all this time and energy and effort to get the best results for them. Yes. That's the whole...
And you want the same... The desired outcome is usually the same.
Mm. Yeah.
So, well, it is the same. You know, you communicate to your client, this is what you want, this is what we're going to try to achieve.
Mm.
So... Yeah, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And with clients as well, it's not only having difficult conversations about if an outcome doesn't go their way, but another element of our job is, you know, requesting funds in trust, mm-hmm. or if invoice mm-hmm. isn't paid, mm-hmm. or a barrister invoice has come mm-hmm. in, or valuation invoices have come in, and mm-hmm. requesting them to pay is mm-hmm. quite an uncomfortable thing to do. Like, can you transfer $20,000 to our trust account, or to Grant, like, or to a forensic accountant, whatever it might be?
Yeah.
Is there any ways of managing that?
It's setting the boundaries right up front.
Being clear.
Being very clear in that initial meeting. That's what sets the tone for the rest of the relationship. I've unfortunately had this experience. So I know that, you know, that first meeting where it's very clear what responsibilities I have, how the relationship is going to work, what's expected of them as well, and to know that the process will look like this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what's really important, because then you can go back and sort of say, you know, as we discussed blah, 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 as was outlined and blah, blah, blah. We're at this process now where to take this further, we need la, la, la.
Yeah.
And that, I think, just is clearer.
Yes.
Very clear. Mm.
Yeah.
So that might be something that would solve that problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
In addition to our relationships with clients, we have our relationships with our colleagues, our superiors, you know, your admin staff. Is there any way that we should be raising any concerns or issues without overstepping and, you know, a good way to communicate that?
You know, what's different in this environment is that there's a different set of criteria that make these conversations a little bit difficult. Firstly, you've got the power dynamic, and I think we haven't spoken at all about power dynamic, but it really is a really important overlay
for sure.
When in any relationships that we're talking about is recognizing that there are power dynamics, and we need to understand what they look like. The other thing is that we might fear being judged, you know, by our peers, by our superiors. And also we may think that it's not the organizational norm to talk about these things.
Yes.
This is not how we do it here,
you
know. So that then raises the whole issue of that organizational culture stuff.
It takes a bit of courage.
Yeah.
There has to be a level of courage of being able to go into these conversations and have them appropriately and be respectful. Like, there are some basic sort of, almost like it could be a sort of organizational culture, safety sort of things in there.
But the principles still apply.
Yes.
The principles still apply. It's easier within the organization because often you know what that common goal is. So it's about reframing it then around a difference of opinion. The key thing is, do you respond at the time that that difference comes to light, which is often hard?
Like in the moment?
In the moment.
Very hard.
That's
very
often hard. Because there could well be for many fight response,
yes,
or indeed flight response. I'm running away from this. I'm going to avoid this.
I'm getting out of here.
But for others, it could just be, well, I need some time to actually think about that.
Yes.
Which is probably a more normal sort of response. So the opportunity then is to then reframe that, and to plan for then the way you respond, you need to think about what is the context, what is the environment, how am I going to raise this again, and actually be purposeful with your plan.
I feel like, I don't know if that would necessarily be the normal response. I think the normal response would be a flight. Like, that would be the sort of like initial innate sort of response. If we had like coaching or you know, we had that, we would have the ability or the things in our back pocket to say, hold on, I need some time to process or to think about this, like, let's revisit this, you know. I don't know if we always have those
strategies,
things to say in the moment when we are approached to potentially go into a difficult conversation.
So if in the moment, depending on how things, and this is the thing, is context is so important. Context in relation to where did it happen, what was said, who said what.
Yes.
Because that then determines how you then respond to it. But the key thing is, if you still go back to that principle of, rather than seeing this as a point of conflict, think about, we are all in this together. How do I understand what led to that? How do I understand what generated that? Ordinarily, research has shown that most personality types, if you raise something with them that sort of highlights the negative impact that it's had on somebody else, most individuals will feel bad about that.
Yes.
Most individuals. There are segments of our community that really don't care. And then
they're different personalities.
They're different personalities. And literally, they really don't care what other people think or whatever.
They don't respond.
They don't respond. And we really can't do very much about that.
Yes.
But what we can do in our peer with our peers and within our teams is we can take some responsibility for how we show up.
Yes.
To that interaction. So therefore, how we start the conversation and how we lead the conversation, and we can't take responsibility for how that other person is going to respond, but we can certainly walk away feeling proud with how we have behaved.
Yes. And even if you're the one being opposite to the person initiating, if you're the person receiving
yes.
that, as you said, we really need to work on reframing.
Yes.
And, you know, in my early days of my career, when my boss would be giving feedback, I'd think, oh, I'm doing such a poor job. Mm. This is bad work.
Mm-hmm.
But actually reframing it to say, they want me to get better. They want me to improve.
Yeah.
This is for my benefit.
Yes.
And developing your skills.
Yes.
Yes.
And that it really helped, I think, progress, like my progress and like working through it all, because I thought, well, it's not
an attack.
Not an attack.
Yeah.
But when you first receive that information, you're like, oh my gosh,
it is.
I'm doing
job.
So bad. Why am I even in this, you know, field?
Yeah.
And then when you reframe and go, I'm just learning, you know, I'm only one year out or 2 years out or 3 years out. And even now, you know, it's just, I'm always learning and I need to reframe that. And there's always something you can learn.
Yes.
People always have feedback or guidance, advice, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And just, taking that on board, but reframing it so that it's not taken as an attack.
And constructive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if we also added on to that, really appreciated difference. We're all different.
Oh, yes.
We all see things differently.
And could take on different perspectives
exactly.
and views all the time.
We
if
don't,
we wanted to.
We don't need to agree.
No.
We don't need to agree. But in actual fact, leaving ourselves open to understanding somebody else's perspective
builds
trust.
Yeah.
It builds trust. It builds relationships and connections and allows then for differences of opinion to be more open in
and
groups
valued.
So
I suppose that would also tie in with like the language that you use when talking to someone.
Yes I'm very keen for us all to ask more questions. Let's not use why questions though. Let's use how questions. Let's not use I think and I this and you that. Maybe let's use we. The verbs, let's use sort of verbs that lean towards collaboration and more sort of, you know, collectivism as opposed to very individualistic perspectives on things. There's a lot for us to learn in, you know, the more collective societies in the world where the value is around the group as opposed to the individual in this particular situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So if a conversation does derail, right, and you sort of need to pull it back, I know before you said that acknowledging how they're feeling, you know, and giving them that time to feel heard, I suppose. Is there anything else that we should be doing if it goes off the rails, or is it, you know, as simple as ending the conversation? You sound heightened. I might end this call now and we can, you know, get back together and talk once you've had an hour. Was there anything else, or?
Being self-aware. Are you an escalator?
Yes.
For every parent out there, are you a parent who has to have the last word? Because if you are, you're an escalator. So being self-aware of your own behaviors. Do you have to have the last say in this?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's best that you don't. So if you're aware of that, the ability to go, and I'm coming back to Leilani's top brain and bottom brain, you know, that ability to go, yes. Well,
we're actually all in the emotions here.
Yes.
We're not actually going to be able to communicate effectively, yes. Have a productive conversation, yes. Here. So we do need to take a pause.
Yes.
Go on. Like, if we, yes. Can't regulate in that moment, we're not going to be able to think clearly, communicate clearly, make decisions, problem solve. None of that is going to be able to happen.
Mm.
And you know what's interesting? That whole framework was built out of, like, from kids,
yes.
And understanding brains. And I think it's Dan Seligman or something. And he talks about the upsets.
Martin Seligman.
Yeah. And the whole brain child. And, like, often when kids are distressed and in the emotions, we as adults come in,
yeah.
From the thinking of, like, well, we've got 5 more minutes. And I told you we had 5 more minutes. And the kid's like,
oh, how interesting.
I don't know what 5 minutes means. I'm playing in the park, Mom. Like, what do you mean? All of that stuff came out of,
yeah.
Like parenting and how we as adults can come in from the top brain when we actually need to get comfortable and understanding and regulate at the downstairs before we can go upstairs,
yeah.
Together.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, but still applicable. Like, it's still 100%. It's still applicable.
100%.
Mm.
But the key, I think, if we're exiting the conversation, is how we exit the conversation.
Yes.
Yeah, like, what do we need to do?
We can't stomp off and slam the door.
Yes.
Right? So it's about how do we make sure that we have the ability to go, as Leilani just said, you know, we're not seeing things clearly at the moment. It's important. Maybe we just take a break. Is it okay with you if we come back next week when we've had a chance to think about it?
Yes.
And maybe having some, like, you could literally, like, you sort of the scripting before of, like, having things on your phone or on your post-it note or on your computer of, like, if you get really stuck in those moments or get really distressed, maybe having some things that you might feel really comfortable saying that you can just pull out of, like, I'm hearing this or I'm feeling this. Is it okay with you if we take a break? And have them written somewhere so you're not having to think about what to say in the moment. You've got them scripted somewhere to pull from. Because I think that's, you know, when we're in that discomfort or that distress, it can be really hard to think clearly. So if we've got little things written, we're more easy, like, able to access them.
Yes, we've actually done a Flipper seminar where we talked about cheat sheets when preparing for court. You know, having, like, a cheat sheet on the matter, but also then if you're appearing in court, just some one-liners to just buy you a bit of time to stop and think for you to say. And I feel like that's something people could do now with difficult conversations. Have some points and what some of those lines might be that you can say to help end or help.
Or maybe we could section it up. Like, there might be some things you might say when you weren't expecting the conversation to be heightened. So that might be, like, try and just get in, like, reflect on what are you hearing? What, like, that, all that active listening stuff of, like, and lean into, instead of the thought, like, the feeling. I'm hearing you are really distressed. I am hearing you are really frustrated. So those would be the things that I would be saying in that.
And what about in the flip of that, though, when you have someone come and say something to you and your reaction is,
You're heightened
and they're not, but what they've said has sort of upset you.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you could say there to say? Is it just as simple as saying, I'm just feeling a bit upset right now. Can I come back to you? Or should we be trying to sort of work through those emotions on the spot so we're not, you know?
You might want to recognize, like, or validate the other side of, like, okay, I've heard this and this, like, you've said this, you're sort of reflecting back what you've just heard. Is it okay if I come back in 10 minutes to you on that? Like if you're talking to, say, like, a boss or an aggressor or someone who is quite, like, give me an answer right now, you might want to have more of, like, okay, I'm hearing you need this from me in this moment.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I come back in 10 minutes or so?
Yes.
Yeah. But understanding what your natural response would be.
Yeah.
And being able, what's the trigger? So what's likely to trigger those emotional responses in you? Mm. And thinking through how you might reframe them.
Yeah.
So again, we go back to that whole, what do we know about ourselves? How do we reflect on our triggers? And how do we reframe our responses? All part of that sort of, you know, growing our personal growth journey, as it were.
Mm. 'Cause that might be quite, like, if we did the flip of that, like you said, and we said, oh, I'm feeling this, it could make us feel more vulnerable.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
More like they're going to see me as this little weakling who,
yeah.
You know, you want to be a bit more strong in that
moment. Yes, you do.
You want to feel a bit more, like, empowered.
Yeah.
And we've got a bit of, like, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm feeling so distraught now.
Yes.
And you're going to be like,
you're looking silly.
Yeah, well, I got you. So having a way of not necessarily reflect, you wouldn't really want to reflect what you're feeling in that moment.
No.
Yeah.
It would be a bit more around, like, okay, I've heard this, let me come back to you when I'm, you know, and you kind of almost seem like it's rolled off the back of you, but you just are giving yourself a bit more time and compassion and grace to go away and think about it and process and have a bit more time to maybe feel empowered in that moment rather than...
That's a really, really good point, because this is where this essence of the power dynamic comes into.
100%.
You know? Yeah. But equally, the way in which that person has delivered that made you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And you as an individual going back to them need to let them know that you felt that way.
Yes.
You know, and I think this is...
But that's a difficult conversation to have.
No, look, and this is... this. If there's one thing we can do is, can we start... from the very beginning, you know, as with our little people and getting them to be able to, you know, use that empowerment script, you know, because it's important for us to feel comfortable letting people know that they've upset us.
Yes, we are running short on time, but can you do a quick role play now? Like, how would you honestly communicate to someone if they made you feel uncomfortable? Putting you on the spot.
Not at all. Emily, you remember yesterday you came into my office and you let me know that you were a bit disappointed with how I had performed last week in that meeting. That made me feel really uncomfortable. I felt a little undervalued. I thought that there was other elements of what I did that were really good. Maybe next time you have some feedback for me, do you think we could maybe sit down together and we could look at the things that went well and the things that I could improve on next time round?
Yeah.
So it's a little script. What happened? How did it make me feel? And next time something's coming up, this is what I'd prefer we'd do.
Yes. I think I am sort of smirking because our profession as a whole could all do better at that.
Yes.
It's a difficult thing to do, though.
It is.
It takes so much courage.
Like, it does.
Process, like, thinking through how to even get into that and set, like, it does take so much courage and practice and, like an ability to, but they are skills. Like, I think the key thing here is that, like, they are ultimately skills we can build if we want to. Like, getting, like, I could not. I'm so passive. I'm like, I could not. But they are, like, if we were in those situations and contexts where we want to be, you know, successful and better and all, and we want to build on our weaknesses, they are ultimately things that we can practice.
Yes.
And we can get, you know, a bit in the stretch zone. We're not in the panic zone.
Yeah.
We're not in the comfort zone. We're in that, like, a bit like that space of stretching and trying new things and trying to build our skills in different ways.
Can I just finish with one thing?
Yes. Go, girl.
That level of discomfort that I see both of you have at the moment, can I tell you, it lasts 8 seconds.
Well, the stress rash lasts a lot longer.
So the research shows that minute where you're really just, it's 8 seconds. And what I say to my coachees is, we can all do something for 8 seconds. And once and that it, once you get past the initial, as I said earlier, most individuals will go, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry I made you feel like that. That was not my intent. Because you don't know what's going on in their life. Yes. You don't know what's going on. And they'll say, I'm really pleased that you shared that with me because you're important to me.
I feel like when you do get through that hurdle, like so much growth and understanding can happen.
Yeah.
Like I know I felt it in like with certain clients where you're feeling this kind of like there's a bit of a wall. There's a bit of like we're kind of doing this dance of like what's happening here. And then as soon as you kind of crack it, there can be this moment of like, oh, we're vibing. We're
you're
on the
flowing.
Same page. We are just like now you understand. And I understand you so much more on, like, such a better level. But it does take the courage of, like, cracking it and getting into it.
Yeah.
8 seconds. 8 seconds to crack.
Oh, God.
How to have a difficult conversation.
All right. Well, if listeners can take just one thing away from today, from each you. I mean, there's lots to take away from today's episode. But wrapping up, if there's one thing that people could take away from each of you, what would it be?
I think a big thing I would say is that we've got to regulate before we can communicate. Mm-hmm. Like putting that pressure on ourselves to have all the thoughts and think clearly and it's too much pressure. And ultimately we have to be able to regulate ourselves and our bodies before we can get to the thinking and the communicating.
Yeah. And Fiona?
Be courageous. Be
courageous.
Yep. And start reframing.
Okay.
Start practicing reframing.
Reframing the way you perceive
things. The way you perceive things.
I love that.
Amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Very welcome.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Flipper Talks, a family law podcast. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. We confirm that the information we discussed today was just that, information for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not specific advice. If something discussed has you considering whether you should take steps, it is important to make sure you get professional advice about your unique situation before you proceed, whether that be legal, financial, accounting, medical, or other advice. Please reach out to Flipper if there's another topic you'd like explored, and if you know someone who might benefit from the show, remember to tell them about it. Thank you for listening.